Oh man, I am just loving hosting this podcast. And let me tell you, this guest today, Sophie Kay, is such an example of why. She's so generous and kind and a true delight to talk to. But if you're an alternative wellness practitioner who is ever wondered if branding is important in your business, Sophie explains how going deep dive into her brand and developing a connection, letting her authentic self shine through her marketing and her branding, was the secret sauce that ultimately helped her business take flight. This episode is so fantastic for so many reasons, but specifically, she does t share that particular subject. Another hot topic is social media and finding that balance between doing what everybody feels like is the right thing to do and then doing again what feels right to you. She really shares her journey about that, and I encourage you to tune in, listen through to the end, and just get the most you can because you never know. You could just get that one piece out of this episode that could change the trajectory of your business. Thanks for tuning in. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to our new community, I'm so excited. This is an amazing community for those of you who are wellness practitioners that are looking to connect on a business level so you don't have to shoulder all that responsibility alone. Click the link in the description. You're going to get invited to our Facebook community. And by the way, we've got a fun training coming up in July that is completely free. You won't want to miss it. One of our people who went to our last training, she's like, anybody who's wearing every hat in their business needs to come to this. That was her big takeaway. So I'd love for you to connect with us in the Organize Your Alternative Wellness Practice Facebook community, which again, I know that's a mouthful, but just look for the link below or text the word holistic to 55444, or click the link in the description. All right, let's dive into today's amazing episode. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Thriving Holistic Practitioner. As always, I'm grateful to have you here with us. And today we have a special guest. Her name is Sophie Kay. She's a vitality coach from New Zealand. So excited. I love podcasting, Sophie. I meet people all over the world. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me here. I'm excited to be able to have a chat with you today.
Ah, likewise, I think I'm just as eager about this conversation, and I love your brand. I just was on your website. It is smashing. I love the vitality it offers. So totally speaks to what you do. But will you please share with us a little bit more about you and how you got on this journey?
Yes, definitely. I love getting asked this question because we often forget that to where we are in this very moment, it's taken so much to get here. So for me, I think my journey in self-development and my journey in the well-being space, I started about 10 years ago. I was running a small gift box business on the side with a friend of mine. It was more of a passion project. I was working in corporate. I was raising children at the same time. I had all these balls in the air. And even though I loved what I was doing, I found myself just being overwhelmed and stressed out for the majority of my life, really. And so I just continued on in that space because, most of us live in an environment where that's being perpetuated. Being stressed is normal. You just got to keep going, hustle, work hard, all of those kind of paradigms. And it was actually only the separation from the father of my kids about 5.5 years ago that made my life just like it was a total shakeup. It was a shakeup. It turned things upside down, and it made me, for the first time in a really long time, stop and actually go, how did I get to this moment in time? And I went through a bit of a dark night of the soul as well, for about 3 months or so, just dealing with a lot of the emotions and the grief. And to be honest, it was probably the first time in my life that I really allowed myself to feel those emotions, to be present with them. And it wasn't pretty. It was hard. It was really hard. I don't actually remember much of those 3 months, besides that I somehow managed to get my kids off to school. I somehow managed to still work and keep the household going and keep life going. But it's often in those dark nights of the soul where we have an opportunity to go deeper and discover something about ourselves. And I took that opportunity. I started to do more and deeper self-development on the spiritual side, but also, a lot of mindset work. And it was through that I essentially rediscovered myself, that I rediscovered who I was, that I rediscovered what my passions were, that I rediscovered what lit me up, what got me out of bed in the moment. And I rediscovered, most importantly, my joy. And through this process, I regained a quality of life that I actually didn't realize was possible for me. I remember just experiencing joy in my body in a way that I hadn't experienced it before. And as part of that process of rediscovery, I also started to look at my career working in corporate. I was surrounded by incredibly talented people, especially working in the media and broadcasting industry. It's a very dynamic space. But what became also very apparent was that I didn't jump out of bed in the morning to go and do this job. I was very good at it, but it didn't light me up. And I looked around me and I thought, well, there's a lot of talented people here, but they're actually quite frankly quite miserable. They're not really enjoying what they're doing. And it wasn't just the company I was working at, it was the entire corporate space. And I thought to myself, there has to be more than that. So I went on another journey of self-discovery in terms of my career. And I've always been a people person, Lindsay. I've always been someone who I get energized by being with people, by talking with people. I'm incredibly interested why people think the way they do, what makes them tick, what makes them make the decisions that they make. As a sort of on the side philosopher, I realized that when I came across coaching as a career, that this was the perfect fit for me. It allowed me to spend a whole lot of time with people, getting really to know them on a much deeper level, understanding how they tick, what made them get to this point in their life, but also it allowed me to continue to learn and to continue to expand in my own knowledge around what it means to be human. And it was through that I then decided I was going to retrain as a life coach. So this was actually in 2020, the year that COVID hit the world. And it was in the first lockdown here in New Zealand, which was sort of March, April 2020, that I got some real time to go inward and realized actually I was just going to start my business. What was I waiting for? And so 3 months later, I quit my job and I started the business. And here we are, 4 years later, three programs in, serving a whole lot of clients every week, really enjoying what I'm doing. And it is such a blessing to be on this path and to be able to do this work, and most importantly, support people on their journey. Because what I realized for me, Lindsay, is that what I discovered for myself, this quality of life, I want that for others. I want others to have the same. Because what I realized when I discovered that for myself, the impact that had on my children, the impact that had on my relationships around me, it has this incredible ripple effect. And I just think if I can just support one person in each family in this world, this entire world will change. And I really believe that life is there pleasure, life is there to enjoy. So that's what I help people do. Help people do find more enjoyment, and most importantly, find more time for the things that are re really important to them.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how we tolerate so much dissatisfaction? Like we just allow it and we feel held hostage by it. But it's so fascinating to me how when we just make that pivotal decision to change, to pivot, it's like suddenly those chains are gone, those shackles can be gone. But going through that journey can feel so terrifying and threatening to our way of life that it's almost like we'll hold ourselves in bondage just for the fear of what if it fails. So kudos to you for taking that journey. That's a huge undertaking. I mean, I've talked to quite a few people already for this podcast, and it's also very interesting how many people pivoted at COVID. Like that was a time when I think almost every single human did something drastically different. I don't know. It's amazing how much it transitioned, but let's talk about that journey for you. So You've discovered health coaching. I totally respect where you were with corporate and feeling like it wasn't the right move. Hold on just a second. And then what was it like for you to then embark on that journey? Kind of what being a little bit in corporate, I'm sure you had kind of some foundation of business and what you needed to do. But I also am certain there were a lot of different, there's a lot of differences being a solopreneur and running your own business. So like, what were some of those challenges that you were facing at that time?
Well, essentially, I started off with nothing, right? I started a business from scratch. I had no client base. I had no programs. I had no experience as a coach. And even though I had always been that kind of person that at a party would be probably sitting in the corner with someone having deep and meaningfuls, I didn't really know who I was as a coach. So to be able to charge for my services almost felt a bit icky. It felt hard to do that. And so I did a lot of pro bono work. I've spoken to so many people about this. It doesn't matter how much we learn, it doesn't matter how much we are trained in something. The real learning starts when you apply it. And this is something that comes across in my work a lot as well, because people know how to take care of themselves. People know what foods to eat. People know how to exercise. People know a lot of these things, but they don't know how to apply them in their life in a way that really works for them. So that was one of my biggest challenges. Okay, now I have all this knowledge. I know what I want to bring to people. How am I going to bring this to people? What is this actually going to look like? And then there's also the financial realities of, of starting a business from scratch. So starting off with nothing means that you also have no income when you start. So that was an interesting balancing act on how to give myself time and space to develop my practice, but also meet the realities of my financial situation and being a single mum at the time. there was nobody else to fall back on. It was just me. And as part of that, I think it's really shifting in the coaching space now, and in generally in healing modalities or more holistic healing modalities. I think, as you say, COVID has created a lot of change. So I do believe that there is a more openness and more knowledge around the power of those modalities. However, around the time that I started my business, a lot of people didn't know what coaching actually was, and what its purpose was. They would ask themselves, "What? So, yeah, hang on. So you just sit down and talk to people? And that's all you do?" And they'd say, "So are you like a counselor?" Like, no, I'm not a counselor. I'm not a counselor. I'm not a psychiatrist." And say, "Well, what's the difference?" So I'd spend a lot of my time talking about that and actually educating people, on what that was really about, what coaching is really good for, and. I think I'm just going to tell what my distinction is here, because I think it's such an important thing to understand. I'm a big believer in doing, inner work and going into our past. So I've done counseling before, and I still sometimes go back to my counselor when there's things that arise. So I have this kind of healing team around me that helps me with that stuff. But I feel that psychiatry, counseling, all of that is very retrospective. And even though there is, that has a purpose, what I love about coaching is that it is very much about the, okay, what's happening right now? And how did you get here? But most importantly, where do you want to go? And how do I go from this very moment to where I want to go to? So it's more present and forward facing, which is what I really love about it. So that's what I spent a lot of my time doing, educating people. And I suppose what also comes to mind is there's a conversation I had with one of my clients last year who said to me, "Sophie, when you first started coaching, I thought you were having a midlife crisis. Like, I thought this was just a thing you were doing. I thought this was just a thing that you were doing, and it was going to be a fad, and it was going to be over soon. But now, 3 years down the track, now I get it. Now I get what you do, and I believe in what you do. And I can see how you are supporting so many people on their journey." So it's taken him as an individual 3 years to really understand what I was doing and actually be able to believe in the power of it. So there was a lot of misconceptions, and yeah, a lot of educating in the beginning, which I think as we start off as practitioners, especially in the healing space, there can be a lot of that. There's still a lot of resistance around it, but there's also a beautiful opening to that as well, because people are just realizing that, hey, just relying on our modern medical system and just relying on modern life is actually not going to give us the quality of life that most of us are looking for.
I agree. I think that people are becoming more like that question you said, there's got to be more to life than this. I hear that a lot. I think that's a catalyst for people seeking change. But what's also really beautiful is how people are now being more open-minded to seeking help to get that, to facilitate that change. I mean, I think my generation, I know it was, we were raised by that, bootstrap mentality. You work your butt off and you reap what you sow. And it's not really okay to ask for help. It's a weakness to ask for help. Those were a lot of mindset beliefs that my dad impressed upon me. And I know a lot of people in my generation have that. And I think that we're seeing a shift where people are saying, look, I could do it on my own, but it'd be faster with a coach. And really, to me, that's what coaching does, is it collapses time. I struggled with that when I was hiring one of my coaches years ago. I said, what can you do for me that I can't do for me? I asked her. She said, honestly, nothing. You can do it on your own if you want to, but I'll help you get it done in 6 months and it could take you 6 years. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's go. So I think that's really, what's cool is people are becoming more open to that. So I agree with you. So you were
Yes.
talking to a lot of people, but how did you find these people, especially during COVID when everything was in lockdown?
So really through my own network. And I think this is something that was one of my biggest learnings as, when I started up the business, is that we so underestimate our network. And when we start a business, is there was a, I've seen this quite a lot, is that there seems to be a reluctance to talk to people about what we are doing, right? And a lot of it is around fear of judgment, or, they're not the right people. And yes, they may not be your target market, but when you start from nothing and you have no database to draw up on, using your own network is, to me, one of the smartest moves you can make. And here's the reason why. So I can't remember what the guy's name was, but there was a very famous car salesman. I think he was from the States, and he somehow managed to sell over 1,000 cars a year. And so someone once asked him throughout an interview, like, how do you do this? How do you sell 1,000 cars in 365 days? He was one of the most successful car salesmen ever. And he said, through the power of my network. And he provides such high quality service and high value service that when the people leave and have bought the car of him, they rave. And he said, look, one thing he already knew was that each person is estimated to have a network of around 250 people, right? That's their friends, that's their family, that is their work colleagues, that's the people from their sports clubs, from their local communities, from their churches, and so on. And so he utilized the power of these people's networks just simply by providing an extremely valuable service. So that's one of the things that I really worked with in the beginning, that I found hugely helpful. Just start with your own network, because someone is bound to know someone, but also, most people, even though they may have responses and reactions to what we're doing and they don't necessarily get it, a lot of those interactions are huge learning opportunities. I think one of the biggest growths I've had, in conversation, was with people who didn't agree with me, or who didn't see life the same way, or who didn't understand coaching. And it's such a really thought-provoking process for both of us to engage and to really expand our minds. So I think, look, the network is our starting with our network is such a powerful thing.
Yeah. Did you ever struggle with hesitation to reach out to people? Like, because you're a natural people person. So did that just come naturally to you, or did you get some, we all sometimes might get a little hung up in the beginning, but we kind of push past it. Did you run across that? And if so, like, how did you overcome that?
Massively. Massively. Even though I was such a people person, I was also a terrible people pleaser and so afraid of judgment. So afraid of judgment. So, and what happened because of these fears that I hadn't been able to resolve myself at that moment in time when I started the business, I was, I actually had a different brand then as well. I was putting things out there that I thought I should be putting out there, things out there that I thought people wanted to hear. And even though, yes, there is obviously the reality of we got to write and put out information that resonates with our avatar, with our target markets, but we also have to think about what's our message? What are we putting out there and why are we putting there? What's the power of it? So I only within the first sort of year or two started to realize how much I diluted my own message. By trying to cater to others rather than going, actually, what is it? What is the message that I have to spread here? What is the wisdom that I want to share with people that I know is going to be valuable, that was incredibly valuable to me? So, as an intrinsic part of my business was doing inner work and actually becoming aware of these fears, understanding how they're playing out, and understanding the consequence of those fears. For me and the business, but also understanding the consequence that if I allow myself to be held back by those fears, I'm not going to be able to serve as many people. And so this was just bigger than me. And I think, every, and I actually just did a live around this yesterday, every entrepreneur, every, whether we're business owners or whether every person on this planet often deals with that I'm not good enough, or fear of judgment, or fear of failure, all of those things. Every single person deals with those in, on one level or the other. And it's nothing to be afraid of. It's part of the process, right? And there's such a human reason for that.
Okay, that was so, you actually I inspired me to write something down, because if you noticed, I'm like distracted for a second, because you hit a nail on the head that I hadn't been able to articulate, but that I was trying to articulate, is to part of why, like, what is my approach to business is helping people find that holistic approach to business without feeling like, and the way I describe it is, when we're young, we're growing up through the world, and we're trying on, like, I equate it to like walking into someone else's house and trying on their clothes. It would feel very weird. It's not our style, but we're like, but it's their style, it works for them. So I'm going to try this shirt on and see. And the whole time we're like trying to make it work. It's not us. It's not our style. But because we see it on somebody else and it looks good on them and it works for them, we assume we want to be like them, right? And this is what a lot of times happens in business, especially in the beginning, is we haven't defined ourself yet. So we see these other things and we go try them on and it feels spammy and icky. And that is exactly the thing. Like, now I get it. This is exactly why those sales marketing tactics and things that people want to put these like business in a box solutions, why they don't work is because they're not helping you build a marketing plan that comes from the inside out. And that's really what I do. So I'm glad you said that, because I was like, oh my gosh, I gotta type these things down. This is exactly the clarity I needed. Oh my goodness. But that's also so true. And I love that, you took the time to do that deep inner work so that you could lean into that alignment. So how did that transform for your business? I mean, obviously, you were in the beginning stages. We all go through that. You do this deep inner work. What started to evolve? Like, what, how did that lead into the next stage?
Oh, it was massive for me. So as I said, I started off with a completely different brand. It was called Bright Coaching then. And one of the reasons I chose that brand was because people often said to me, "You have such a bright smile." And so I, it really resonated with me at the time. But What I realized again that it was a brand that I created because of what I thought I should be creating. And it was around 2 years into my business when I started to, really get into self-reflective practices for the business. And so one thing I was really good at, I was really good at personal self-reflective practices. I was really good at nurturing, my own self. But one thing I still had to learn was how do I nurture the business as an entity? Because the business is an extension of me, but it's also its own, how do I say, its own being. And what I realized is that I wasn't proud of my brand. I wasn't proud of, some of the things that I was putting out there. And that in itself was an opportunity for me to look into this. And so I started working with a good friend of mine who was a brand designer, and she's worked in marketing for quite some time. And she said, "Look, Sophie, let's sit down. Let's have a look at this brand. Let's look at what excites you." And I remember going into my cupboard, into my wardrobe, and just looking at the colors that I like to wear. And so I chose three colors and three of my clothing items, and I took that to the meeting and I said, "These are the colors that I love." And she's like, "Oh, this is exciting. And let's talk about how do you show up? Like, what do you love about yourself? How do you like to dress? What are some of the things that you like to teach?" And we really just talked about the things that I was excited about and the things that I loved teaching people and the things that I knew were going to be incredibly helpful. And it was through that process that we then started to slowly build this brand. And so I did invest in a new website, and I invested in a new branding kit and those kind of things. And even though it was an expense at the time, that when I think back at it, that was a risk, where the cash flow was at the time, it's like, this is some of the stuff is risky. Is this really where you want to spend your money? But I knew that it was going to have a huge impact. And the impact that it had directly on my business was two things. Firstly, the way I showed up changed because all of a sudden my brand and what I was putting out there felt authentic. It felt like me, like an extension of me. It felt real. It was something I could be proud of. And I'm still proud of my brand today because it's 2 years later, because it's so incredibly vibrant and it's so very much me. And of course, there's all these reiterations along the way and refinements that happen. But I love it because, as you said before, when we first chatted, is you just look at my website and people are just happy, feel happy just looking at the website just because of what it embodies. But what it also, the second thing that started to happen is that year I doubled my revenue. I doubled my revenue just by changing my brand. And it wasn't necessarily the brand, it was what the brand did for me and how I showed up. And I think that was such a huge learning for me because, yes, we want to have the six-figure businesses. Yes, we want to have all the success. But the question is, it's not about so much about the results that we get. They are a byproduct of who we actually become in the process. What's the person that we want to or need to become that runs a six or seven figure business that services or serves a whole lot of people every single year? Who is the kind of person that does that? How does she show up? What does she bring to the table? What are some of the things that she teaches? How does she interact with her clients? How do people respond to her when she walks into the room? All those kind of things. So it really gave way to this understanding for me personally that it's about the person that I'm becoming in the process, and that everything else is a byproduct. So that also meant that as part of that, I started to implement self-care as actually part of my business strategy.
I love
Self-care
that.
and nurturing myself. And it's a core part of my business strategy because if I'm not well and if I'm not showing up at my full potential and my full energy, how can I move other people and inspire other people to do the same? So walking the talk is such a huge part, especially as a healer and a holistic practitioner.
Well, and I think that's really the foundation of like the premise of this podcast, essentially, and a lot of what we talk about is managing our energy and productivity. You know, a lot of times people think productivity is managing to-dos and getting a lot done in a day, but it actually has a heck of a lot more to do with managing our energy. Because, like you said, if our energy is drained and we're pushing ourselves to attain this next level or tick off these check boxes, we're just slow. We're just not really giving it everything we've got. But when we can really stop and just focus on our energy, we can be a lot more productive and a lot more effective in whatever modality we're doing simply because we took the time to get that in the right space. So that's powerful. And so this is really cool because, like, if we were to collapse your time frame, it started with just getting clear on who you are and embodying that into your brand, since your brand is so closely aligned with who you are. And then taking it one step further in doing that, like energetic work to make sure that you have the ability to put the output. How did that result? I mean, like, look at the positive changes, like a 50% return increase on returns just from getting aligned. What did you see another uptick with, living a more charged life?
Yes, absolutely. So what I started to notice was, I mean, I always enjoyed my business, but the level of enjoyment and the level of excitement ramped up even more. And you know, I'm a real, and I love that you bring this up about around energy, because when we are full of vibrancy, full of vitality, full of energy, what starts to happen is that our creative brain goes nuts and starts to fire, and all these creative ideas start to arise. And it was actually one of the things that kind of had kickstarted that rebrand, actually, that I hadn't mentioned, was that I had a download of my 6-month program, which I'm still running now. So I refine that program even more. It now has 40 videos. It has workbooks. You know, it's 12 coaching sessions. People get a one-on-one chat with me. I'm so proud of this program, and people that go through it, it's like, wow, this is so powerful. You've put so much work into this. So it gave rise to higher energy levels, but higher creative energy. So this is not higher energy so I could do more and hustle more, and because I personally don't believe that's in that it's an old paradigm. I think it's an old world paradigm that we need to start shifting. We need to start working smarter, not harder, and we do live in the age of technology,
Yeah.
so you know, we have a lot of tools to work smarter. But I also believe that, you know, there's a level of dedication that then starts to arise from that too. So beside that creative energy, we become so aligned that we want to dedicate time to what we're doing. And to be honest, I work late nights every week. Usually when my children are at their dad's, and I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I want to, because I'm feeling inspired, because there's something that I'm working towards, because I'm feeling so on purpose. And that's where I think when we talk about hustle, hustle itself isn't the problem. It's why we are hustling. It's the space we are hustling from. Are we hustling from purpose, or we're hustling because we think we have to? And what that has resulted for me in the business is that I've been writing for magazines. I've made more revenue this year again as I did last year. There's a steady growth that is starting to happen, and it's sustainable growth, right? So it's not hustle my way to burnout and then make a whole lot of money on the way. It's growing the business sustainably. It's allowed me to become a lot more creative with the way I market my business, and really owning my magic. And one of those things is networking in person, whether that's online or you know, actually in person. But that is my marketing strategy, and then I bring people into my online space, and then I nurture them that way. But it took me a really long time up until about last year to really be able to own that. But it came from the energy. It came from what I was bringing to the table. Yeah.
Oh, so good. I love that. Like, that's just such good confirmation. And I think anybody who's listening to this, that has been having that pull. And because it's easy to get caught up in the shoulds, like, especially like I said earlier, when we're looking at what's working and we hear about this, build a funnel and, create an avatar and all of these things that we see over and over again in the digital space, or at least I do, because I've been living in it for the last, 3 to 5 years, or it starts to feel so transactional. And so there's this piece of us that's like looking at it with wonderment, thinking, well, is that really the way I need to run my business? But if your heart isn't agreeing with that, I do not believe there is a one size fits all for all businesses. I think every business has a unique flow, and it's often dictated by the leader, obviously, especially when we're in a solopreneurship. But that's the beauty of it, and letting our business like evolve from inside out, like there, that social media, if that doesn't align with you, you don't have to do it. It's okay. Like there are so many other ways to connect with people and to build relationships and to grow your business. So I thank you for sharing how leaning into that actually transformed your business and your life. That is so powerful.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's been
I found
quite the
this on the web
journey.
for how leaning into. Sorry,
Oh.
apparently Siri thought I was talking to her. Like, what? Who's talking? Oh my goodness. Well, so tell us, where can we connect with you, if people are looking for that vitality and that transformation?
Yeah, so you can obviously always head to my website, sophiek.co.nz. I am about to actually launch a mini program, which is called a well-being check, and it's a really simple 4-step, 4-day program that allows you to get clarity on where you're at and create some really powerful action steps going forward. So that's a really cool thing to engage with. That will be launching on my website towards the end of this week. But also a really cool way to stay in touch is just through socials. So through Sophie K Coaching, or if you search on Facebook at Sophie Kaiser, that's where I'm active the most. I just love the community building aspect of Facebook. And to be honest, I was just going to say to that because I was one of those, I resisted social media for a really, really long time. But what I realized for me, being an inner rebel, that I could use social media to change the paradigms, to have these difficult conversations, and to create content that disrupts, some of the sort of negative impacts that social media can have, that overconsumption. And so that's where I found my purpose in social media. So that's a cool way to connect with me. But otherwise, obviously, on my website, you can sign up to my email list as well. So there's lots of ways to connect with me, but social media is probably the best sort of real time way
Yeah.
to keep in touch with what I'm up to. Yeah.
So what is the future for Sophie K Coaching? Like, how do you have, it seems like our businesses kind of go through the renditions, I suppose you could say. Do you see a new rendition on the horizon? And like, how does that impact your next steps?
Yeah, this it's more of a refinement. It's a refinement that is currently happening. So one thing that I've been really looking into quite deeply is my product suite and how am I serving my client and what's my client's journey and how can I support them long term. When I think of my business vision and where I want to take it in 20, 30 years' time, it is so massive. It's global and it's so massive that sometimes when I tune into that vision it becomes so overwhelming. So what I'm working on at the moment is just really that refinement and getting really good at what I'm doing, taking it to that next level. I'm going to be running a retreat here in New Zealand this year in August, which is really exciting, which will be based on my one-to-one program, my 6-month program, and that will be an immersion. So the next rendition is really honing my craft, honing my skills, really creating a flow within the business, because often so that the back end systems is that we, you know, that need development in order for us to grow. I think this is something that we often forget as entrepreneurs. We think we grow, let's just make more money and then get and serve more people, which is amazing. But if you don't have the back-end systems to you know, support all of that, that's not going to happen.
Amen.
If it is going to
Yes.
happen, you will fall apart. There's quite a, I think there's a lot of people who speak about that. That is it for me, really. And it's serving more on a larger scale. So I'm starting to do workshops and those kind of things as well. And interestingly enough, it's leading me back into the corporate world,
Aha, I like
which is
it.
funny, which
Coming
is
full
funny.
circle. That is awesome. Well, congratulations. How fun.
Thank you.
Yeah,
It is, yeah.
you're a delight to talk to. I'm just happy to have you here. This is a great episode. And I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for your generosity and your kindness and sharing.
Oh, you're so welcome, Lindsay. You know, I believe that this world is an abundant place, and I am happy to share as much as I possibly can. And you know, I know that for me, when I've listened to podcasts or I've read a book, and there was just this one sentence somebody said that I needed to hear that made everything fall into place. And I always think, if I can be that person for someone, then I've done my job well. That one thing that makes things fall into perspective and fall into place for people. So it's such a
Well,
pleasure to be here. And thank you for creating the space to have this conversation.
yeah, and after talking to a lot of people, I assure you, you've shared some really good nuggets of wisdom that I know are going to be that thing they needed to hear today. So
Thank
it's a good thing.
you. Exciting.